At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Hello and welcome to the Undercut Podcast. I'm your host this evening, Jesse Billington, and we're back to preview the 6th round of the 2025 Formula One season, the Miami Grand Prix. To do this, I'm joined by Mr. Timo Albers-Daly. How are you?
Fired up, but mainly just for F1 Academy, because that's going to be the only interesting action I foresee this weekend in Miami. The F1 has yet to set my... I was going to say loins on fire for F1, but I don't know if that's the best way to go about it. It's yet to entice me in racing terms, but F1 Academy, definitely the more interesting of the two for Miami, in my opinion. So, but how are you?
I am also apprehensive of the action we're about to see in Miami, and again, agree with you that Formula One Academy might bring something more interesting. Otherwise, I'm doing well. I was out at the weekend at Bicester Scramble, got very sunburnt. You won't see this because we don't attach the video bits to this, but I am very red and pink in the face. Caught up with some good friends there, two of whom will get mentioned later on as we get into the news section of the podcast, and the MG is slowly coming back together. So we've now got pistons in the block and the crankshaft and the comrades are all together. So we're making good progress.
Was that not the last update?
No, last update was I'd bought pistons, but they were the wrong size. I've now bought the correct size pistons and got them connected. I had the crankshaft in last time, but now I've got pistons and comrades in as well. So we're slowly getting there.
I regret asking. Continue.
There's a lot to this. But anyway, that's not what we're here to talk about. We're here to talk about Formula One and the news. We'll kick off with the interesting news that Zhou Guanyu and Sergio Perez are the current favourites for the Cadillac seat. Colton Herta was a front runner, but the talk around him has dropped off a little, while insiders are now suggesting that Zhou and Perez might be in with a shout. It makes a lot of sense, really. Both have experience in the sport, and that's what a new team will need, a pair of drivers who can offer consistency and feedback as they develop the car. Zhou makes sense, especially as he's now tied with Ferrari, and Caddy will be using Ferrari engines until they get their own ones up and running in 2029, I think.
Neither driver particularly excites me if either of them were to get a seat. It's coming across more as we have lots of money and are very marketable in certain locations around the globe, and that's what we can bring you. And yeah, sure, sensible in the sense of you've got experience more so than Perez compared to Zhou. Zhou maybe didn't get as much of a chance as we would have liked, or as definitely as he would have liked, considering the car he was driving for the 3 seasons he was in, but we've seen that with a lot of drivers. And I don't know, Colton Herta would be more exciting. You get Felipe Drugovic in there, or a left field F2 driver that you're not too sure about, or maybe someone from Indy NXT. That would be more interesting for me, but it wouldn't surprise me if they went for the boring, sensible option. It's just a shame because Cadillac gave off the impression that they would do things a bit differently, and considering that they had to be a bit scrappy to get here in the first place, it's a shame if they then decide to just fall in line, as it were, and go for the safe options. I quite like the idea of if you've got to go for someone experienced, who's, let's face it, whoever joins this team at the start, outside of potentially a Colton Herta, isn't going to be there long term, isn't going to reap the rewards from the development they put into it. And who doesn't necessarily mind that as much? Magnussen would be someone where if you're going to go back and bring someone in, at least you can have someone who's familiar with the US market, who's familiar with Formula One, is marketable. Okay, not as much as Zhou and Perez maybe, but is a bit more of an exciting driver than either of those two have been for the last, insert whatever opinion you have, a number of years there, but at least 2, I'd say. And It just get the blood going a bit more. Whereas Perez, I just feel like, okay, yeah, the Red Bull was a dog of a car for anyone except Verstappen last year, but nothing about him or Zhou coming back makes me go, ooh, I'm really excited to see that.
Yeah, neither of them make me go, ooh, but at the same time, I can understand the reasons behind their choosing, I think.
That's the thing, though. We always understand the reasoning. It's just frustrating that it's always just sensible reasoning. It's, when's the last time we had a bold call that was a good thing, because obviously with one bolt course, you look at Red Bull, you got not that kind of bolt course, something that works and is sensible in an exciting way, not in a boring way.
But at the same time, would you rather they blow through their boring drivers for a year or two while they set up, and then once they're a sort of tangible, exciting prospect, they then bring in the exciting drivers that we actually get to
I
see
don't
in a chassis?
see why you have to choose. I think you could, like I say, Magnussen is more exciting because you know he's going to be pushing, for example. Or if you get a Drugovich, he's had some experience in F1. He's a rookie, but not a rookie. He's got experience. He's something a bit different, and you can push it a bit further. And at least it's someone new getting a chance rather than two drivers who've been there for a long period of time in different ways.
I think
Think getting them both as a test driver, yeah, great. But in terms of for an entire season, I'm just going, well, we've had all this long journey to get an 11th team, and then you get two drivers that you go,
but also on the face of it, from Cadillac's point of view, they're not going to want to sort of rock up with a chassis and their Ferrari power units and have two completely unknown drivers driving the car. And all of a sudden, it
Well, I'm not
becomes
saying you
a
go
bit of
for
a mess.
unknown drivers, but you just go for people
No, but
who
unknown quantities within
don't
Formula
mix.
One, you go with what's established, because otherwise you rock up and look like an idiot all of a sudden. You want to have a bit of that consistency when you turn up on your first day. Otherwise, there's a lot of doubt and aspersion about them anyway. Why add to that instead of sort of not having something that's a sort of tangible prospect? There's a lot of questions about it, and I can see a lot of the reason why they've done what they've done. I think there is a great argument for why they've done what they've done.
Well, it's not a done deal yet,
It's not a done
unfortunately.
deal
It's
yet,
all
or
hyperbole
what they could
and
potentially do,
speculation.
or the arguments that are being speculated rather, but I can see why they're the drivers that are being touted or looked at or
It
represented.
just seems too safe and too F1 and too franchisey, and I get the reasoning for it, but at the same time, it's not a it doesn't come across as a great way to establish yourself as the bold, fresh, new team on the block by going, and we're going to do exactly the same as everyone else. Why not try it a little bit different? And if it doesn't work, fine. But at least have the ball to do something different.
We'll see. We'll see how it pans
We
out.
can disagree agreeably. That's all part of the fun.
I think there's certain elements that we agree on, certain elements that we disagree on, and I think we find an interesting middle ground with some.
What if we put Yuki in one of the seats? Would that make you happy?
No, because
Experienced.
I don't want to see him.
Develops the car.
But I don't want to
He'll have
see
been
him.
churned out of Red Bull by then.
Don't want to see him wasted on a chassis that's unknown, is the other half of it. Sort of like it's going to come in, it's going to be a bit of a sort of not pig of a car, but it's going to be a unique
This
machine
is
that.
where they do a Brawn in 2009 and you have egg on your face next year.
If they do a Brawn 2009 and they've signed Zhou and Perez, and we see them coming through the Drivers' Championship 1 and 2, we will all have egg on our face, and that will be
That's
very.
why I don't want it to be Joe and Perez. That's why I want it to be someone interesting.
We'll wait and
Go
see.
for the boldness.
However, word on the ground is when it comes to the new engine regulations, Mercedes have really got their act together. So Ferrari power units are possibly going to present a bit of an uphill struggle when it comes to the rest of the grid that are running Mercedes power units through the new season coming, especially when you compare that to the likes of Ford that are supplying Red Bull and Honda that will be supplying Aston Martin. There's a lot of questions still in the air. And will Audi be using their power units as well by that point as well? They're supposed to have their own engines as soon as they join, so also a very unknown prospect, and we'll see how it all pans out. Still, it's all yet to be proven. It'll all come out in the wash. Something else that will all come out in the wash is the Madrid Grand Prix, which probably hasn't been actually that busy on construction side of things, considering they didn't have electricity for a bit. But Carlos Sainz opened the circuit last week, waving a checkered flag to set off two diggers along the construction route. The race organizers have shared a video of a simulated lap of the track, and it's arse, for want of a better phrase.
Here's another Grand Prix nobody asked for, but we'll build it anyway. Lovely.
It
Next.
feels like, what was it, Valencia, the one that was by the harbour in Spain?
Yeah, but I
It
quite like that as a street circuit, although I was young and impressionable back then.
young, impressionable, and it has the iconic crash of Mark Webber going backwards through the air, doesn't it?
That only just had a fun bridge, which I quite enjoyed. And Michael
Yeah.
Schumacher got a podium, Alonso in 2012. I think that was a good race. It's got nostalgia, whereas Madrid, again, you go and you hear about Imola potentially getting off the calendar because we can't justify two Grand Prix in the same country. cough off America 3 money. But yet Spain somehow has a big enough audience that you can justify two for a little bit and then eventually switch to Madrid completely, another street circuit, which the whole point of a street circuit is that it was not something you go to for every Grand Prix because it's better when it's used in kind of the sparse nature rather than consistently just putting street track left, right, and center. When's the last time we actually had a brand new track or a track that we were going back to regularly that was actually a racing track? Admittedly, probably Imola, which isn't the best example for it, but I'd rather we try that sort of thing than just here's another street circuit that we didn't ask for.
I mean, you've got Mugello and Turkey on there. Portimão was pretty good.
That for a couple of years. I prefer going back to Turkey than having a Madrid Grand Prix. Istanbul Park is a phenomenal racetrack and is underutilized.
I think a return to Turkey or a return to Portimão would be interesting, or go to
Well,
Argentina,
sorry, if we're
perhaps.
not going to Imola anymore, we have both. Go shift over to Portugal instead of going to Imola and then just stick Turkey on there and we get rid of, well, Miami. There we go. It's topical. Fit it into the
I mean,
problem.
you could do Turkey on your way out of doing the Arabian Peninsula on your sort of freight and flight route,
Or after Baku.
or off to Baku as you
There's
head back out
multiple
to
options.
Singapore. It's sort of close enough
The
and
natural fit.
to be environmentally sound. But anyway, go have a watch of the
All
on the
done.
sort of simulated video of the circuit, and even the sim driver is struggling to keep it on track and pointed the right way. There's some really Mickey Mouse chicanes, and there is maybe one overtaking spot, possibly two if there's a DRS zone sort of down the middle bit of it as well. I'm not a
That's
fan.
the other thing that's always just such a baffling thing. You have the opportunity to build something from scratch and you forget about overtaking. And then you wonder why you have bad racing there later on. You go, it's again, this is the second time in a week I've used this now, but it's the 2.5 men meme of, did we forget something? I don't know. If it was important, we'd remember it. And then it's just the main objective of it outside going, where are you guys?
There are questions to be asked about it, and it does make me wonder what a lap around the Vietnam circuit would have looked like, had we ever gone there, because that had some
I'll
very
circle back with Ellie May on that one. I think she famously likes to say that she drove around it on whichever F1 game it was and proceeded to do much, much damage to many, many cars, I think.
But Ellie May can't drive, so I'm not really.
Probably more exciting than the Madrid Grand Prix, though, so we can circle back to that at a future point.
Pinch of salt with that one. Speaking of, actually, there's no real link to this one. Well, Kimi Antonelli is getting a Netflix documentary. Says Formula One Academy. The Formula One Academy one comes out very soon. I think it possibly even
End of
comes
May.
end of May.
Think internally sooner.
Kimi Antonelli, I don't know what it's going to be about. He's like 12. There can't be that much of a
Well,
story to
that's
tell.
the baffling thing. I didn't believe it at first because I just thought, oh, it's the internet making stuff up again. And then it apparently is a thing. And I'm going, he's not even, he's been here 5 minutes. Okay, he's had an impressive 5 minutes, but we had, you won't have watched it because fair enough, but the Drive to Survive episode covered it just enough and had enough kind of made up nonsense in there to keep everyone happy. Didn't really need anything more than that. I don't know what it's going to add.
I'm left baffled by what's going to be in it.
F1 Academy, though, much more excited for that one. Actually got two full seasons under its, 3 seasons, sorry, under its belt. I think 3 seasons, wasn't it? Three, two seasons. It's the broadcasting, it screwed in my head again. I can remember. We've got two full seasons, so we've got plenty of kind of footage to pull from, plenty of drivers, plenty of interesting stuff, and I'm kind of intrigued about that. That's hopefully going to be very bingeable.
Talk from within the world of Formula One Academy. I bumped into friend of the show, Hannah, and this is the important part where I can never remember how to pronounce her surname.
Rather you than me.
Gonna go with Piddich, I think, because she is Welsh, and that is as close as I might be able to get with it. But friend of the show, Hannah, bumped into her at Bicester Heritage over the weekend, and from inside Formula One Academy, excitement is high for this documentary, so it's well worth looking forward to and well worth keeping your ear to the ground. I think that's also out on Netflix when it arrives, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And amusingly, whilst we're on subject documentaries, Formula E decided to get in the action somewhere. That's going to be on Prime at some point in the future if anyone's bothered about that one.
Okay, good. I've always wanted
And
to.
NASCAR's got one coming back in May, actually. That was actually quite decent.
Yes, I did like that one. But yeah, so more of that, more motorsport documentary, fly on the wall
It's quite
style.
nice, isn't it? Because I think we've left with it none for years and years and years. You had the occasional film like Rush, and that was about it. And then now you kind of go, it's kind of Oprah is coming out again. You're getting a documentary. You're getting a documentary. Everybody's getting a documentary.
It's nice. Everyone gets their proper moment in the sun, and I feel that some are better done than others. Certainly, more recent seasons, Drive to Survive, are a bit questionable.
Yes.
Love espresso, drip coffee, and cold brew? With the Ninja Luxe Cafe, if you can crave it, you can brew it. Espresso? Balanced. Drip coffee? Rich. Cold brew? In a flash. With Barista Assist technology, you brew with no stress and no guesswork. And make perfect silky microfoam hands-free from dairy or plant-based milks. Bring the coffee house home and unlock your favorites with the Ninja Luxe Cafe.
Anyway,
Ironically, as soon as the racing got interesting, it downgraded in quality when you thought it might improve everything a bit more and go, you just keep doing what you're doing. You don't need to flesh things out anymore or get creative. You can just let it be. But I think that memo got lost in the post.
yeah, they had to get a bit more inventive than potentially we might have liked them to. But anyway, other faces I saw at Bicester Heritage, Otmar Szafnauer there again, obviously relatively close and just enjoys going along to the scrambles. They're nice events. I don't know if he got sunburnt as I did. Speaking of Formula One Academy, obviously we're off to Miami this weekend. Ava Dobson is the wild card entrant for this round of the F1 season. I haven't checked what else she's been racing in. Timo, you feel you might know though.
Yes, I do know. I'm trying to think now off the top of my head because I interviewed her a couple of years ago, so it's nice to see the progression. I think she's kind of done what a lot of boat drivers done. It's been karting, it's been kind of F4 stuff, and then not quite Ginetta's, I don't think, but Mazda's possibly in there somewhere. So she's gone through the normal pathway, I think, if I'm remembering correctly. Will it does blow a bit when you talk to as many people as I do, but I'm pretty sure of that. I'll have to go back and check my own interview at this point to be sure. But yeah, I was quite excited to see her name pop up. It's nice when drivers that you either maybe haven't heard about for a while or are kind of new-ish to the scene, or you were hoping would get a chance at some point, then do get the chance. So two races and a full race weekend will be great to see her and what she can do. And as we saw from wildcard last year, I think from Miami onwards, every wildcard driver is on the grid this season. So maybe this is the first step to getting onto the grid for 2026.
Yeah, the F1, let me just check where are my notes from F1 Academy last year, 2024 F1 Academy. So we had
Ella Lloyd, Nina
Crone,
Gaedman, Jamie
Gaedman, Lloyd,
Coyne.
Palmowski, and what was it, Hannah, Logan Hannah, wasn't it?
Yes.
Logan Hannah not on the grid this year?
Not here this year, but
No.
not
But
a bad
Palmowski,
number.
Lloyd, and Gaedman are. And Courtney Crone, I can't remember off the top of my head if she's made
Yeah,
the
he's a
show yet.
pass.
Yes, she has. Yes, she's with ART, and she's driving alongside Leah Block and Aurelian Nobles. But yes, Ava Dobson, back to where we're going. She started open wheel racing in 2023, Formula 4 US Championship, USF Juniors, USF 2000 as well, then moved over to Europe,
The name I
did.
was trying to think of. So
Yeah.
many junior championships to keep track of. You think it can't be just F4 US because they always add something to it, and then it's F4 US. And you're up.
Yeah, and then there's also USF Juniors and USF 2000, so the different displacements of them. Then GB4 Championship in obviously the UK, and she's back in GB4 Championship this year as well, doing a full round and scoring points across those first two rounds in Donington and Silverstone. So, yeah, she's developing nicely. I think it's going to be a good wild card entrant when she arrives this weekend. So I'm looking forward to seeing something from her. Meanwhile, the Mexico Grand Prix has had its contract extended. We'll be racing in Mexico City until 2028, which is a nice addition. I think it's an interesting circuit to go to, and it has started to provide some more interesting races. I think again the
When were those?
downforce requirements of it do sometimes bring things out, and it'll be interesting to see how things go this year. We've got a different title fight on our hands.
So Mexico last year was good. Before that, I struggle to remember when we had an interesting Grand Prix last, and I challenge you to name and justify one.
In Mexico,
Yeah, generally would be a bit too easy. We just got to Bahrain for this year. Ladies and gentlemen, he has a very strained look on his face, as if he is struggling to recall anything interesting happening at the Mexican Grand Prix before 2024 and potentially butchering his own point.
Did we Mexico in 2021? I don't.
We did, and Verstappen won, not much happened.
Yeah, I feel it was a pretty cut and
Verstappen, Hamilton, Perez, because it was either Hamilton or Verstappen winning that year for the majority.
I feel like there were some unique strategies and possibly Bottas having something to do with it. Off the top of my head, Bottas, that was it. Bottas was on pole, but would then go on to finish outside the points after doing like a weird pit stop strategy to try and take points off of Max Verstappen, which was one of the reasons why we built up towards
Work.
it. It did work, I think. Yes, it did work because he got the fastest lap because they,
Got fastest. Oh, 8 point. Okay, fine.
yeah, because they pitted Bottas. He came out into traffic, wasn't able to get it on the
Oh,
front tires. They pitted
yes.
him again so he could get another bite at another go round, and that was when he did it. So he had like a sort of three pit stop.
I was hoping they were trying to take more than 1 point away from Verstappen, but alas,
Bear in
no.
mind how few points there were between the drivers at this point in time, but yeah, that was how I remember it. We also had Pierre Gasly finishing fourth in the AlphaTauri and Kimi Raikkonen getting points for Alfa Romeo. So a mixed bag of results, I think, is a fair way to
You
say.
had to Google it for Pierre Gasly for the Kimi Raikkonen points, though, so kind of backs up the point of we've not had an interesting one for a while.
It wasn't particularly interesting, but also you can just
I'm
sort
sure
of.
the atmosphere is great there. It looks great. We just haven't had the rating to back it up, aside from last year. And I was kind of hoping that last year then would mean that I think it was already announced that it'd be on the calendar this year, but it was kind of like, okay, have it for 25 and then give it a rest for a bit, and then maybe we'll actually be excited to go back at some point. Whereas now it just feels like we're going to places because we've been there before consistently, more than anything else. It doesn't, I don't know. I'm always someone who looks at a racetrack and goes, I unless you're like one of the legacy cracks, like your Silverstones, your Monzas, whatever, you stay there permanently, that's fine. But if you're somewhere else, I look at you and I go, when's the last time we actually had a good race? I don't really care about the atmosphere or anything else. I want there to be a good race. I'm the purist one on that front. Like, I know the other things are important, but I'm there for the racing and nothing else. And if you can't provide a good race, then it doesn't really matter if the atmosphere is good or not. If you're not there, you're there. Most people will watch it on TV. And if you don't have a good race, you don't really rank it that highly. So
Okay, but
maybe they could look into doing something, or hopefully the cars will do something next year that will switch things up. But I'm not predicting an interesting race this year, for example.
how do you define a legacy race? Because we've had a Grand Prix in Mexico since 1962, and
Well,
that's
not consistently.
not consistently, no, but I mean,
My
how.
legacy tracks would be places like Spa, Monza, Monaco, Silverstone, Brazil, Japan, these sorts of places.
Okay.
Melbourne Park. Melbourne
But
Park, sorry.
so when was Interlagos first used?
70s, I think.
Yeah, 19. Formula One started there in 1972. So Mexico, we started going to Hermanos Rodriguez in 86, which is still sort of
And then we had a massive gap of when to when.
92 through 20, 92, 24, 15. So a big gap,
Yeah.
admittedly.
And I don't mind going back and trying it out occasionally, but doesn't mean you've got to stay there.
Yeah, it's just one of those things of
Or go to a different trek in Mexico.
you can make the argument of, oh, we've got to have the legacy tracks there, and you go, well, what defines a legacy track? How long
I
is it?
just told you what it was. The
No,
ones that have
but
been there pretty much throughout.
yeah, but pretty much throughout, we've got a sport that's reaching 75 years this year. That's quite a long history to really pick from.
And I just did.
It's no, but it's one of those things that's so much more subjective than simply just saying these are the abstract rules for it, and there you go. But anyway, that's not
Well,
what
that's why it's my opinion.
it's an opinion, and you can't define something entirely based off one person's opinion. Well, you can, but
Didn't say you could. I didn't say you should or would. I was just giving my take on it.
anyway, we're not going to bicker about that because we've done so well so far this season with actually agreeing on things. We'll move then to some fun facts of the Miami Grand Prix. And the first Grand Prix was not in Miami, or first Miami Grand Prix itself was not actually in Miami, but in Sebring in 1959. Bruce McLaren won the race with Maurice Trinotto in second and Tony Brooks in third. I think we've
Let's
mentioned this
just do
before.
some testing in Sebring. That would really, not for obviously like race pace stuff, but to test out the durability of the cars, I think, with that, with the old tarmac.
That would be a very interesting series of sessions to certainly watch.
I'm just imagining Top Gear when they made the car and they put it over the cobbles with the.
Yeah, run it over the Belgian pavé and see how wobbly things are. But yeah, I don't know. I think the Sebring argument is great because it points out there is actually more interesting circuits available in that part of Florida that we could be racing at. St. Petersburg is a great example. That always produces a pretty good Grand Prix when it goes full.
Homestead would be interesting. It can't be much worse than the Formula E was, so why not give it a go?
We'll see. Anyway,
I don't know if you watched that.
I didn't know. I haven't been watching Formula E
You
this.
didn't miss anything.
Okay. That
Time
is
well spent,
no.
swear.
Anyway, we'll move on from that little delve into history to some predictions. And we'll start with pole position prediction. Ellie May has gone Piastri, so have I. Timo, you've gone for the other side of the McLaren garage.
Lando Norris and justifying it or having a kind of a, not a justification, but a backing up of it for my choice of podium on Sunday by going, he's going to continue the record there of the pole security at the win.
Okay, that's an interesting argument, which you sort of back up when it comes to your podium, as does Ellie May. I break that pattern. Ellie May has gone for Norris, Piastri, Russell as her podium. I've gone for Piastri, Leclerc, Norris, and you've gone for both McLarens at the top of the rostrum, then a Mercedes.
Yep, Piastri, Norris, and Russell. I just think Piastri, regardless of where he qualifies, he's just very calm, cool, and collected at the moment. We'll do what he needs to do, and Russell's just always there. I think that's why Anna May's chosen as well. I sense she's wanting to close that gap and overtake me in the predictions points, and this is why this is such a serious-looking set of predictions from us.
It is, she's locked in and properly engaged with it. And I think the battle hots up. I think as we start to get a stronger read on the grid and as it forms through the season, this is going to be an interesting one. I feel a bit of a plum now that I've gone for Leclerc in there and no Russell, but I just feel that the Ferrari might
Well,
have.
as long as he finishes in the top five, then he's still on track, but it just means he's not on the podium.
Yeah. It's more the sort of the Leclerc argument of, is the Ferrari going to be that strong coming into this weekend? Is it going to suit the Ferrari?
Depends what kind of race we have.
Yeah.
I mean, admittedly, you're going for more interesting Miami Grand Prix than we usually get. And up until earlier, I wouldn't have minded Leclerc in second, but after seeing those race suits, I'm not sure if I want that to be on display on a podium. I'm not a big fan.
You don't want to see any more of it than strictly necessary.
Yeah, no, not really. Which is a shame, really, considering who I've gone for the fastest lap and really May's gone for the fastest lap. I mean, we wouldn't seen too much of that, but it feels weird to be on that side of things.
Yeah, I mean, we haven't seen the car yet either, so
I'm hoping they don't do anything too bad to it.
yeah, we'll wait and see.
Everyone was complaining about the white and blue of HP ruining things, supposedly, and then they go, oh, you wait for Miami people.
Yeah,
We're going to go big.
we're going to add even more HP. So we'll see what comes of that. Meanwhile, fastest lap, as you've already alluded to, both you and Ellie may have gone for a Ferrari driver, but which ones?
Well, Ellie May's gone for one side of the garage with Charles Leclerc, and I've gone for the other side with Lewis Hamilton.
Interesting. And I've gone for Lando Norris, who, let's just say he's sort of hunting down sort of Charles Leclerc towards the end of the race and is able to make a big push and fire in a fastest lap. I don't know. We'll see how that pans out for him. Wild predictions.
You quite find this funny, actually, from Ellie May going fastest lap from Charles Leclerc, but her wild prediction is no Ferrari-powered team in the top 10. So it's kind of, oh, we're all buggered. So as Ferrari, we're just going to say, well, we'll go for a fastest lap, even though we can't get anything from it, because that seems like the kind of thing that Ferrari would do.
Yeah,
There's a weird logic, but it just tickled me a little bit reading that.
it's a Ferrari logic, that's for certain. I am much like you, bamboozled as to quite how they anticipate that one playing out. It's going to be interesting to see. Perhaps all she's like spread betting and just sort of putting a few things in different places, so therefore one of them is more likely to come out too. Timo, I'm very interested in your one because technically it could happen with mine.
Oh yeah, well, yes. I was going to go for all of them, and then I looked at my podium and thought, no, I can't quite do that. I'd have to change it. So I've gone for 9 out of 10 teams in the points, which obviously means that one team will get both drivers in there, and one team will get none in there. Not too fussed about which one doesn't, to be honest. It'd just be fun to see.
We'll see.
And it's not too out of the realm of possibility.
I don't think it's.
Admittedly, again, I'm trying to make Miami interesting when it's giving us none, no particular reason that it's going to be. But it's a negotiation I'm having with the Grand Prix, seeing if we can work something in.
I appreciate the effort that you're sort of suggesting might occur. It'll be interesting to see how many teams do finish in the points. I think that'll be a really interesting metric
I
to
was
look
just going
at.
to say how many teams finish,
That
which could
too,
also be quite
possibly.
interesting depending on what we get. 40% chance of rain.
Ooh, interesting. So, but yeah, we had a varied finishing. Did we get one driver from every team in the points at Australia? Obviously, bar Alpine. Only 25 drivers in
So no,
constructors.
basically.
Let's see. We had no because we
You've
had
got 9 out of the 10, or
both
no.
McLarens, both Ferraris.
8 out of 10, maybe.
So McLaren, Ferrari, Red Bull, Mercedes, Aston
I'm
Martin,
thinking
Williams,
AlphaTauri and
and Sauber. So we didn't have AlphaTauri and we didn't have Alpine. So we were 8 out of 10
eight out of ten.
earlier, which is
Keeping
pretty.
Channel 4 and Jimmy Carr happy, but not helping me with my prediction.
Yeah. I don't know what other rounds have come really close to that, to be fair.
Guitar last year, maybe.
I'm thinking more just this year so far. Let's
Oh,
see.
then none.
McLaren, Ferrari, Red Bull, Mercedes. And then we've got AlphaTauri and Williams. That's seven for Saudi. I don't think anything else comes really close. Maybe China?
And won't have been.
McLaren,
China won't have
China,
been.
no, because we needed Sauber to get in the points and Alpine to get in the points, and obviously Ferrari didn't because they were disqualified. Okay, it's a bold prediction. I like it. It's wild. Meanwhile, double Williams points is my prediction. I think they did it last weekend, but I want to see if it's replicable, and that's asking for consistency from Williams. And I think that has got an additional edge to it that might throw a curveball.
Again, I'm a big Williams fan. They're not going to get P4 in the standings this year, but I'm happy for them to make a bid for it and to see how close they can get. So, yeah, double point, why not? And it doesn't mean mine can't happen, so it's fine. Doesn't mean all of our world predictions could come true, to be fair.
I mean, there are.
Oh, go Ferrari pouting. Okay, no, if I'm taking Ferrari pouting just Ferrari, it works.
Waiting.
Otherwise, LMA just can't score a point on that one, and what a terrible shame that would be.
Yeah, you'll extend your lead when it comes to the predictions game. Williams, 5 points clear of Haas, but a long way off Ferrari, so might just have to sit tight with fifth place at the moment. But we'll wait and see
It'll
how.
be Aston Martin from what, last year.
Yeah, they're sort of just in their own little no man's zone at the moment. Aston Martin themselves currently on 10 points, only two ahead of RB, something I fear might change this weekend. But that is all we've got time for on this rather sort of compact and tidy episode of the Undercut podcast. Obviously, we'll be back next week with a review of the Miami Grand Prix. In the meantime, though, Timo, any more from you?
Well, this weekend you'll be able to find me covering IndyCar and F1 Academy for everything F1, so there'll be new stuff there. And in the meantime, you can find me over on social media and everywhere else that I do everything else, via t.albers.data on curbs.
Lovely. And if you want more from me, you can find me mostly in the workshop over the next few days, doing more work to the MG. But you can also pick up and read the latest edition of Classic Car Weekly. Of course, I'm in there as always, and listen to the Classic Car Weekly podcast, which we do as a little sibling thing alongside to bring you even more car-related content. Otherwise, I'm across social media at Jesse on Cars. And yeah, there'll be sort of Instagrams, TikToks, and the usual sort of melee of nonsense appearing online too. Otherwise, like we said, we'll be back after the Miami Grand Prix. Remember, as we haven't really alluded to, it's a sprint weekend. And of course, there is Formula One Academy. Yeah, I mean, Timo pulls a face when I say it's sprint weekend. It's, yeah, second one of the season. The first one was interesting in the results, but not necessarily interesting in the racing. So we'll see if we get a difference here. Otherwise, thank you very much for listening. We'll be back soon.